Today we're going to take a plain pad and turn it into a dirty, moving, rhythmic texture that feels right at home in jungle and old-school drum and bass. The big idea here is that we're not just making the pad louder or more affected. We want it to breathe. We want it to feel a little unstable, a little sampled, a little worn in, like it's sitting behind the breakbeats and bass line as part of the record's atmosphere. This workflow uses two things together: groove pool for movement, and saturation for harmonic weight and grit. First, start with a simple pad sound. Use something smooth and fairly plain to begin with. Waveatable is a great choice. Analog works well too, and if you're working from a sampled pad, simpler or sampler can be perfect. The key is not to overdesign it at the source. If you're building the sound from scratch, try a saw or triangle on oscillator 1, a slightly detuned saw on oscillator 2, and a low-pass filter somewhere around 6 to 10 kHz. Give it a slower attack, maybe 2 to 500 milliseconds, and a longer release so it can bloom naturally. If the instrument has chorus or unison, use just a little. We want it warm, not glossy. Now write a simple chord loop in a minor key. Old-school jungle usually works best when the harmony is moody and functional rather than overly complex. Minor sevenths, minor ninths, and sus2 shapes are great. Try something sparse, maybe just one or two chords over 4 or 8 bars. For example, in F minor, you could loop F minor 9, db major 7, eb minor 9, then back to F minor 9. Before we even touch saturation, give the pad some musical rhythm. This matters a lot. A pad that just sits there forever is harder to place in a drum and bass mix. You want it to interact with the drums. One easy approach is to shorten the MIDI notes. Instead of holding every chord for the full bar, try note lengths of a quarter note to one bar, and leave little gaps between hits. That space is where groove starts to matter. Shorter notes make the timing feel more obvious and rhythmic. Longer notes make the same groove feel softer and more washed out. So use note length as part of the groove design, not just as a musical choice. If your synth responds to velocity, add some variation there too. Keep it subtle, maybe between 70 and 110. That little push and pull helps the pad feel more human. You can also add a MIDI effect if you want a bit more motion. Arpeggiator can create a soft gated feel, note echo can add a pulse, and chord can thicken the harmony. Just keep it restrained. In DNB, the pad supports the rhythm, it doesn't steal the room. Now open groove pool. This is where we give the pad that classic broken, sampled feel. Look for grooves inspired by MPC swing, 16th note shuffle, funky break feel, or classic drum machine swing. For jungle and old school DNB, you usually want moderate swing, not anything extreme. Think of it like a slight human wobble, not a complete rhythmic collapse. A good starting point is timing around 20 to 55%, random at 0 to 10%, and velocity around 10 to 25%. Set the bass to 1/16. That's enough to make the part feel alive without turning it into a strange chopped rhythm. Drag the groove onto your MIDI clip and listen in context with your beat looping. Don't judge it solo. Always hear it against the kick, snare, and break. That's where the magic is, and that's also where problems show up. If the pad feels stiff, increase timing a little or add a bit more velocity variation. If it feels too sloppy, back the groove off and shorten the notes a bit more. Remember, the goal is not to make it obviously wrong. The goal is to make it feel like a slightly imperfect sample loop that belongs in a jungle track. A really useful trick here is to duplicate the clip. Keep one version with a bit more groove and one with less. Then you can alternate them across sections of the arrangement. Maybe the intro has a looser version, the drop support has a tighter one, and the breakdown opens up again. That kind of contrast makes a loop feel like a full arrangement. If you like the rhythmic feel, bounce or freeze the pad to audio. This is a big step in drum and bass production, because audio gives you more control. You can resample the movement, shape the transients, chop the tails, reverse bits, and generally treat it more like a sample from an old record. Now we start the saturation chain. First, clean the sound with EQ8. High pass somewhere around 120 to 250 Hz, so the pad stays out of the sub, and low end turf. If it's muddy, cut a bit around 200 to 500 Hz. If the saturation makes it too sharp later, we can tame that after the fact too. Then add saturator. This is your main harmonic enhancer. Try analog clip or soft sign mode. Start with drive around +2 to +8 dB, soft clip on, and dry/wet somewhere in the 40 to 70% range. Match the output level so you're hearing tone, not just volume. That way you can actually tell if the saturation is helping. If you want a grittier old-school character, analog clip is a great place to start. It can give the pad that slightly crushed, tape horn edge without making it sound like pure distortion. Next, add drum bus if you want a bit more attitude. This is brilliant on pads for jungle textures. Use it carefully. Keep the drive light to moderate, crunch low to moderate, and boom usually off or very low for a pad. The point is to add a sampled, slightly cooked feel, not to make the pad behave like a kick drum. After that, use auto filter for motion. This can help you shape the pad across sections. You might low pass it for the intro, open it up in the breakdown, or automate a resonant sweep into a transition. That movement works especially well when the pad is already grooving. You can also add chorus ensemble or phaser flanger if you want some width and shimmer. Just keep it subtle. In this style, a little stereo motion goes a long way. Too much and the pad starts to blur the mix. Here's a really strong trick. Add groove to the saturation itself. One way to do that is to automate saturator drive so it reacts with the chord hits. A little more drive on the attacks, a little less on the tails. That makes the harmonics breathe with the groove instead of sitting there statically. Another approach is to create a parallel grime lane. Duplicate the pad track, then process the duplicate harder. High pass it aggressively, drive it more strongly with saturator, maybe add a bit of drum bus or overdrive, and keep it tucked low in the mix. Now you've got one cleaner pad for the musical body and one dirty layer for the age and texture. If you want to go even further, resample the groove-timed pad, then slice it up. Reverse one or two chords, fade the edges, maybe chop a tail and bring it back in as a transition. That's a very jungle-friendly move. It makes the pad feel like part of the same world as the breakbeats instead of a polished synth part sitting on top. Now let's make sure the pad sits properly with the drums and bass. First, keep the low end clear. Pads in this style usually live above the sub-zone. High pass them, and if they still feel boxy, carve some of the low mids around 300 to 600 Hz. Watch the upper mids too. Saturation can bring out a harsh bite around 2 to 5 kHz, which can get in the way of a snare crack or make the break feel smaller. Use utility if the pad is too wide. Big stereo pads are cool, but if they dominate the mix, the track loses impact. Keep the low frequencies mono, and let the width live more in the mids and highs. Also, check the pad against the bass line. If the bass is active, the pad should be more supportive and less animated. If the bass is sparse, the pad can afford to be a bit more expressive. It's always about role and context. In the arrangement, think like a classic jungle record. The pad can be filtered and wide in the intro, more open and saturated in the breakdown, and darker and tucked under the drums during the drop. Then in the transition bars, automate filter cutoff, saturation drive, reverb send, or even swap to a different groove amount by using another clip. A really nice old-school touch is to resample the final version through the processing chain, then chop it into phrases and reintroduce it as if it were a sampled loop. That gives the whole thing a more authentic, looped from hardware feeling. A few common mistakes to avoid. Don't overdo saturation in the low mids, or the track gets muddy fast. High pass before saturation and use parallel processing if you want more dirt without the mess. Don't overgroove the pad. If the timing starts sounding obviously broken in a bad way, the feel is gone. The best jungle movement usually feels slightly imperfect, not obviously manipulated. Don't forget to listen in context. A pad can sound huge alone and totally blur the snare and bass when the full beat is playing. And don't go crazy with width. Keep the stereo field under control so the track stays punchy. Here's a quick practice exercise to lock this in. Build a 4-bar pad loop in a minor key using Waveeatable. Write a simple minor 7 or minor 9 progression. Shorten the notes so there's space between the hits. Apply a subtle swing groove, somewhere around 30 to 45% timing and 10 to 20% velocity. Then add a EQ8, saturator, drum bus, and utility. Set saturator drive to around plus 4 to plus 6 dB with soft clip on. Keep drum bus gentle, boom off, crunch light. Bounce the loop to audio, chop one tail, reverse one chord, and automate a filter sweep into the fourth bar. If you want to push yourself, make 3 versions, one clean, one medium saturated, and one gritty parallel version. Then audition them over an amen break, a Reese bass line, and a dark atmospheric intro. You'll hear very quickly which version works best in which context. So the core lesson here is simple, but powerful. Build a straightforward pad. Give it rhythmic life with groove pool. Use saturation to add harmonics and age. Keep the low end clear, and arrange it so it evolves across the track like a sample texture from a dusty old jungle record. That's how you turn a pad from just harmony into atmosphere, motion, and attitude. If you want, I can also turn this into a shorter voiceover version or make a companion lesson for bassline processing that matches this pad workflow.